In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Christ.
Brothers and sisters, we are at the Sunday of All Saints of North America. Just last Sunday, we celebrated All Saints in general. And the Sunday before that, we celebrated Great and Holy Pentecost. We see a connection between these three Sundays. Pentecost is the sending down of the Holy Spirit to fill man with holiness, sanctity, union with God. The Sunday after, we celebrate all of those saints throughout the ages and every time and place. And then today, we celebrate the saints in each locality. Every place across the globe celebrates the saints that have shone forth in their place. And today, we celebrate the North American saints. This week, we also celebrate a civil holiday, that of Independence Day. It's July 4th, this Thursday. And we'll speak a little bit about the connection between these two celebrations. I want to read to you at length from a book in the Bible that perhaps we don't read so often, Deuteronomy. And it's a book that is very important, though, for us to consider on this day. The book begins speaking about Moses speaking to all of Israel as they are near the Jordan River about to enter into the Promised Land. Now, Moses would not go in with them. This would be his last words to them, his last time that God spoke through him to the people of Israel before they inherited this land that was prepared for them. In chapter 8, Moses says this, and again, this will be a lengthy quote, so I ask your indulgence. All the commandments which I command you this day, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger. And then he fed you with manna, which you could not imagine, neither could your fathers have dreamed of it, so that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And you have known with your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without want. You shall lack nothing in it. It is a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig copper. You shall eat and be satisfied. Then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. But beware that you do not forget the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart might be lifted up, and you might forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slaves. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers could not have imagined, so that he might humble you and so that he might prove you, to do you good in your latter end, and so that you might not say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power and wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is today. And he concludes, and it shall be, if you at all forget the Lord your God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. As the nations whom the Lord destroys before your face, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. What a message. What a time. They're about to enter into the promised land, to receive these great blessings showered upon them. And this is the message, to remember the Lord God and to walk in his ways. For if you don't, you shall surely perish. America has been said by some to be a land flowing with milk and honey, a land with great prosperity and wealth, a land where we abound in multiplicity of everything we could desire. The land has natural resources, we have advanced technology, we are the greatest nation on earth. We are blessed by God. But America is not the promised land. The biblical promised land was Israel. America is not that land. Sometimes when people speak about America and they want to exalt her, they exalt her too highly. America is not the kingdom of God. The Lord says, my kingdom is not of this world. America is a great nation. But like all other nations that come and go, America too will come and go. Difficult thing to say as we are coming up to Independence Day to celebrate the great gift of our nation. But I want to remind you of things that you, I think, already know. America certainly is a place where we have all of these blessings. And the most important of which is, of course, the freedom to worship God. That is the greatest blessing that we have in America, beyond anything else, of which there is so much. But America is a place where our salvation is dependent upon not where we live, but how we live. It's the same as it was in Israel as well. Salvation wasn't given to anyone who just resided in Israel. It was those who resided well in Israel. Those who kept the commandments, were obedient to God. This is how they were saved. And of course, we are part of that community. We are descendants of that community. As Moses spoke to the people, the children of Israel, Christ, who Moses foretold, spoke to the new Israel, to the church, and tells us the same things, to abide in the commandments, to keep the statutes, and thereby to enter into the promised land on high, the kingdom of heaven. The church, brothers and sisters, is the new Israel, and its members, by grace, are citizens of the kingdom of God. Earthly nations come and go, from the least to the greatest. They're part of this passing age, and we are simply pilgrims here, going through an earthly sojourn, citizens of another kingdom. And of course, as Christians, we have a certain vocation in this land to keep the commandments, to follow the way of God, to show to the people who the one true God is, to be the salt that preserves the earth, the light that illumines it, to be the yeast that leavens it, to be the people who follow the commandment to be holy as the Lord thy God is holy. That is our mission. That is why we are here in America as the church, to show forth holiness in obedience to the one who is holy. You remember when the Israelites did cross over and they went into that promised land. You remember the temptations that were before them. There were other gods that were being worshipped by the pagans, and some of the Israelites fell into worshipping them as well. We might ask ourselves, are there other gods in this nation that are worshipped? I'll give you five today. Five that we must not worship. The first is the god of secularism. The idea that we can carve out a portion of our life that is not for God. That is the definition of secularism. We have come to the point where we carve out almost all of our life that it is not from God. The god of secularism is worshipped in America. The god of materialism. The love of that which is material, the rejoicing in it more than we rejoice in that which is spiritual. More than we rejoice in God. The trusting in our earthly wealth more than in spiritual riches. Materialism is rampant in our day and age, and its god is worshipped. A third false god, moral relativism. The idea that anything goes. There is no right and there is no wrong. There is no good, there is no evil. It's whatever you define it to be. That god is exalted here. And I never thought we'd get to this point. But a fourth god is the god of perversion. How the mighty have fallen. We exalt that which is perverted, that which is unnatural, that which is ungodly. This is exalted today. The heroes of our society are the mainstream media, by Hollywood, are those who are engaging in things which God tells us not to engage in. Those things that are harmful and destructive to us. Those things that are perversion of his creation. These are the heroes of our society because we worship the god of perversion. And the last god that we worship is the god of nihilism. What is the god of nihilism? The god of nothing. Why? Because in our worshiping of the god of perversion, we come to hate ourselves. We come to hate whom we've become. We come to hate our nation. And we say, tear it down. Burn it to the ground. If you don't know by now, brothers and sisters, there is a movement in this direction. Worshipping the god of nihilism. The god of destruction. St. Ignatius Brancheninov, he says, learn to know the spirit of the age. Study it. So whenever possible, you'll be able to avoid its influence. Are we aware of the spirit of our age? Are we aware of the gods that are worshipped instead of the one true God? I hope we are, brothers and sisters. In today's bulletin, there's an article by the Archpriest Jeffrey Kors. He wrote it June 18th, 2019. The article is entitled, 50 Signs We Are Falling Away from the Church. What is the church? It's the new Israel. It's the people of God. It's those who sojourn in foreign lands on the way to the kingdom. We are the church. In that article, there are 50 signs to make sure we're not falling away, that we're not going to follow these false gods, that we're not going to perish. I entreat you, read that article. Ask yourself, are these 50 things describing your life? Are they describing our life? There are things like, do we say our prayers? Do we have icons in our home? Do we confess our sins? Do we receive the Eucharist? Do we show charity? Do we support our church? Do we forgive one another? Or do we hold grudges? There are a list of 50 points that if we find ourselves meeting that criteria, we could be falling away from the church. But brothers and sisters, I have to say that article, as great as it is, and it's a wonderful article, that's why I put it in the bulletin, it's actually insufficient. Because we need 50 things on the other side, 50 signs that we are actually growing in the church, thriving in the church. It's not just the negative things. We have to look at the positive things. Are we becoming holy? Are we becoming virtuous? are we being filled with that same Holy Spirit that God sent down on Pentecost throughout all of the world and also in America? Are we becoming the saints of North America? Brothers and sisters, let us think about these things. Let us remember that we are people on the move. And that while we're here in America, we have a job to do. We have commandments to keep. We have light to share. We have salt to preserve. We have to raise up the community as leaven. We have to become holy as God is holy. Because that is where our salvation is found. Nowhere on earth, only with God in heaven. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.